This is 89.1 WEMU, and it is the week of the game. I'm David Fair, and of course I'm talking about the annual Michigan-Ohio State football showdown that comes up on Saturday. Many consider it to be the most heated and certainly the best rivalry in all of sport. With me today are two folks who have been deeply ingrained in this series. Bruce Motti served as head of Michigan Media Relations from 1982 to 2010, then became Associate Athletic Director of Special Projects until his retirement in 2014, and yet he's still always around the office. He redefined the job of Sports Information Director for all college football and remains the standard by which all others are judged. And thank you so much for being here, Bruce.
Well, thank you, David.
And our other guest today is someone that you will be familiar with. He was an amazing running back from 1969 to 1971 for Michigan, and perhaps he's best introduced through the voice of Bob Ufer making a fourth-quarter call in the 1971 Michigan-Ohio State game.
Sipper rolls out to the right, pitches off to Taylor, and Taylor's to the 20, down to the 15, down to the 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, touchdown, Billy Taylor! Touchdown, Billy Taylor! Billy Taylor scored a touchdown from 21 yards out. The crowd goes berserk.
It must be Billy Taylor, and welcome to WEMU, and thank you so much for coming in today, sir. It's an honor and a privilege.
Thank you so much. It's my honor to be here. I'm pumped up. I'm ready.
You ready to suit up, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
That touchdown proved to be the winning score, giving the Wolverines a 10-7 win in 1971. Where does that rank in your memory bank?
Well, I tell people, because it comes up quite often, the greatest game that I've ever played in my entire athletic career was the 1969 Michigan-Ohio State game. Mm-hmm. But my greatest moment, individual personal moment, was scoring the winning touchdown in 1971, my senior year. It was the last time I carried the ball at Michigan. And that game gave us an undefeated season. A Big Ten championship trip to the Rose Bowl, but personally, you know, it was the team, but as an individual, you know, the one that actually carried the ball across
right.
the goal line, that was my greatest moment in sports.
Well, as we approach the 2019 edition of the game, we want to take time to mark the 50th anniversary of what you just called the greatest victory in your career. That was the 1969 victory over Ohio State. Woody Hayes and Ohio State come to Ann Arbor as defending national champions, undefeated and highly favored. Michigan had a first-year coach that was carved from the Woody Stone, but certainly with attributes all his own, and it would take exactly one November Saturday afternoon for the rest of the country to recognize it. Bo Schembechler's Wolverines started the season a bit slow with a 3-2 start, but by the time the Buckeyes rolled to town, Michigan was 7-2 and improving every week. What happened in the 60 minutes of play is now legend. Bruce Motti, you're 17 years old in 1969. You go to the game?
Oh, I was there. One ticket. My dad worked in the foundries in Detroit for Chrysler, and he was able to buy one ticket for that game, and I went there, and that was the biggest – I mean, I was so excited to go to that game. It was amazing.
Was that your first trip to the Big House?
Oh, no.
For that game, for the Ohio State-Michigan game?
For the Ohio State-Michigan game, but I think, you know, really, when you take a look at it, the Ohio State-Michigan game didn't have – that pool of, you know, excitement for a number of years. And when that game came up, because Ohio State was the team that nobody could beat, not even
right.
the Minnesota Vikings,
right.
who were hot at that
time. That's what they said.
Yeah, that's what they said. You know, that was probably the most exciting I have ever been walking into Michigan Stadium as a young man.
So I want to step back for a moment and kind of lead us up to and through that game, if you don't mind. Billy Taylor ran for over 3,000 yards between 1969 and 71. That was a program record that stood until broken by Rob Lytle in 1977. He averaged over 102 yards per game running the ball, and that was a record that stood until broken by Mike Hart in 2007. Now, back in 1969, Billy was a sophomore, and in those days they didn't let freshmen play, so it was first year on the field. And as we mentioned, there was a new sheriff in the town by the name of Bo Schembechler. It was a bit of culture shock for the team going in and around the program when Bo took over, wasn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, who was this man? Who nobody could even pronounce his name. You know, where did he come from? I did know that because Bo recruited me, and we're both from Barberton, Ohio.
Right.
But I was totally shocked that he was being hired as Michigan's coach. We ran away from Bo Schembechler. He recruited me and Tom Darden and a lot of Ohio guys down to Miami of Ohio, and it was the worst recruiting trip of my career. You know, it started out like this. We flew in, and Bo, Coach Moeller, Coach Hanlon, who were with him, they picked us up at the airport, and we, typical recruiting weekend, you know, we had dinner. We drove around campus first and talked football and education, had dinner, and then we were allowed to hang out with some of his players. And me, in high school, by 10, I was definitely at home, and by 11, I was in the bed. Now we're up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We go back to the dorm, and when we fall asleep, and like 5:36 in the morning, we get boom, 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 boom on the door, and I roll over and open the door, and there's Bo standing there saying, "You guys ready to work out?" And
I couldn't, you knew.
Couldn't believe it, you know, but really he had us downstairs in 15 minutes with shorts and tennis shoes, and we lifted weights, and he charted. We did push-ups and sit-ups. He charted. We had to run sprints for time and then finish up with a full-court basketball game with his players. And in between, he's squeezing your arms, and you're soft and all of this. And so we couldn't wait for the weekend to be over, and definitely did not plan to play for Bo. Everyone we met thereafter, we told them, don't go to Miami of Ohio. They have a nut for a coach.
And you end up playing for the nut right here in Ann Arbor. Yeah. And, of course, a lot of the kids ran into the same kind of experience, and there were a number who quit when Bo came on board at Michigan. But he said, and he promised, those who stay will be champions.
Well, you know, fate. I came to Michigan under Bump Elliott, a great man, a great coach himself. And my mom loved Bump. Everybody loved Bump. Still do, you know. And went home for Christmas, and on Christmas break, the front page of the Akron Beacon Journal had Bo Schembechler named head coach at Michigan, and I almost died. You know, I really fell off the sofa, you know. And I called Tom Darden and said, Bo's going to be our coach, this nut, you know. I says, it can't be true. He says, it's true.
And so, Bruce, do you remember that? They named Bo Schembechler the coach?
Sure, I remember the headline. No, the headlines in the Detroit papers were, Bo who? That's how the headlines read here in Detroit, because nobody knew who Schembechler was. And as Billy said, nobody could pronounce his name.
And we talked about it, yeah. You know, after that horrible weekend as a recruit in Ohio. And we said, the man's crazy, don't go there, he's a nut, you know, he has you doing all of these weird things, and he's feeling you and saying you're soft, and, you know, just don't even go to visit.
Yeah, you know, Deardorff tells the story about about how he told Bo he'd never play for him, because he was down recruited at Miami of Ohio, and when he got up to, he was already at Michigan, that was his senior year, he got up there and he walked right into Bo's office, and Bo says, you're mine now.
And mine he was. Yeah. This is 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with two University of Michigan legends today. Billy Taylor was the running back for the Wolverines from 1969 to 1971. Bruce Motti, sports information director from 1982 to 2010. I do want to dive into the 1969 game a bit. Once again, national media is calling Ohio State the team of the century. They're undefeated. They've been rolling everyone on the schedule. Billy, what did Bo tell the team in his pregame address?
Well, as I recall, you know, we had been on a roll. Let me start there. The latter part of the season, mm-hmm. We were beating teams 50 something to nothing, 60-3, and all of that. You know, we were really, really pumped up and ready to play the Buckeyes after the Iowa game. But going to the locker room before we took the field in 69. To play the Buckeyes. I recall Bo saying that we've had a great season. We've had a great week of practice leading up to this game. He showed us a paper, and I don't know if it was Ann Arbor News, Detroit Free Press, or Detroit News, but one of our kind of local papers said Michigan has two chances of winning, slim and none.
Right.
And Bo held that up. He says, you see this? Bull, and you guys can finish the rest of it. And then another paper had Michigan has two chances of winning, slim and none. And he says, you see this? He says, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go out and we're going to kick there, and you can finish it up. And he turned the hat around, he hit the chalkboard, and it was pandemonium, trying to get out of the locker room and get down on the field.
So then you get out on the field, and on the second drive of the game, OSU fullback Jim Otis crosses the goal line, and the Buckeyes take a 6-0 lead, having missed the extra point. Any crisis of faith at that point, Billy?
No, not really. We weren't shaken at all. We went into that game with the confidence that we're gonna beat them, and I'm hoping these young Wolverines today, I hope our spirit can rise up in them and they can play like champions, like Wolverines, and go out and beat them. But that didn't shake us. It just made us more determined because we were going to show them who we were, you know. And we had seniors on that team that had never beat the Buckeyes, just like today with this current team being managed. Dan Dierdorf, those guys, Don Moorhead, a lot of guys. And then we sophomores, the mellow men, myself and Tom Darden, Reggie McKenzie, Butch Carpenter, Mike Taylor, Glenn Doughty, you know.
It's like a who's who, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was that combination of the young guys, you know, and the older veterans. We just said we're going to beat Ohio State today.
And it took to the next drive.
Yes.
Until you started. Kickoff, march down the field to quickly score a touchdown on a 3-yard run from Garvey Crew. You're ahead 7-6, and it's the first time at any point during the season that Ohio State has trailed in a game. So you start to look in those guys' eyes. You start to see some fear or trepidation on their part?
Absolutely. You know, but we really weren't focused on that. We were focused on our individual jobs and the things we had to do to beat them. We were determined. We were focused. Nothing that they said or did fazed us, you know. And everybody played their best football game. I don't even know if we were penalized during that game.
right.
You know, everybody.
Well, that was one of the hallmarks of Michigan Ohio State games. Always clean.
Well, we went out and we just beat them. We just beat them. Nobody believed it. Other than us, I think even the Michigan fans and faithful, I heard later someone said, we always support Michigan. We didn't believe you guys was going to beat the Buckeyes, but we were hoping that you wouldn't be embarrassed and things like that. But we as a team and the coaching staff, we knew who we were going to do, and we went out and did it.
And Bruce Motti, your 17-year-old standing in the stands, first time ever at an Ohio State-Michigan game, and this is supposed to be the team of the century, and Michigan goes ahead 7-6 and ultimately takes a 24-12 halftime lead. Are you losing your mind?
No, you know, at that point, you're still looking at it and saying you got 30 more minutes of play out there, mm-hmm. and I mean, you know, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, this is still a pretty good team. And then what you're really amazed about, and what I, you know, it's amazing because everybody talks about, you know, the offensive plays and all that stuff. And for that game, probably the memorable pieces for me were Barry Pearson's multiple interceptions.
Defense.
Yeah, it was the defense in that second half.
Created 7 turnovers in that game.
And, you know, when I'll never forget, man, I tell you, I still talk to Barry Pearson. Every time I see Barry, that's what I think about because that second half was an unbelievable defensive performance.
Little Barry Pearson.
He also had a 6-yard punt return.
Fall. He's not so little anymore. He's over 200 pounds. But, you know, regarding defense, at halftime, Coach Jim Young, our defensive coordinator, told the defense they will not score on us in the second half. And it was 24-12 at halftime. And when the final whistle blew, that's how it ended.
So, Bruce, after the game, Woody Hayes sought out his former assistant coach and said, damn you, Bo, you'll never win a bigger game. Now, from a program standpoint, from a recruiting perspective, from what it did to put Michigan back at the fore of the college football world, was he right?
Yes, Woody was absolutely correct.
Definitely.
And I maintain that the 1969 game, and I think Dierdorf said it also to me when we were talking, that game probably meant that what we were going to have over the next number of years That's why we had, I think, two Heisman Trophy winners. That's why I think we won a national championship, because that gave us the impetus to be part of the national conversation from there on in. And, you know, that 69 game was everything. And I think the reason that 69 game was so, so big in terms of what it meant was not only did it beat, did we beat a team that wasn't supposed to be beaten, but that was back when there was only one or two games on television.
Right. So ABC game of the week.
So only two or three bowl games you could go to.
Right. So when you're taking a look at that, that was almost like a national championship type of vibe, that type of game. And it I think that resonated, you know, throughout college football and through all the fans, because that game was the game everybody's watching. And to this day, that's the game everybody says is going to be put on at 12 noon or whatever time it is on that Saturday. And they're ready to pick it well before the season starts on television.
And, Bruce, you had a long and storied relationship with Coach Schembechler. In the years after he left the program, was that still what he considered to be the hallmark of his career?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, because I think you take a look at it only when you go back and start to discuss different things with former players. But I always felt that Bo believed that the next win was going to be his biggest win. He was always looking forward to that next game. He was always looking to get back on the field. And you know, and Billy, you knew Bo, how he battled as a player and a coach. I think you agree. I mean, once that game's over, you celebrate, and then next thing you know, you're going.
Well, Bo always told us, and I know he firmly believed it, that the biggest game you're going to play is the one that you're going to run out of that tunnel and play today.
Yeah.
That's true. However, I remember a conversation with him going back to what Woody said to Bo after the game about that's the biggest game of his career. But I remember Bo telling me, he says, you know what, that SOB was right.
Yeah. He did. He did say that.
Yeah.
And you know, when he said that, Billy, he said that well after, you know, when he retired.
Yeah, that's
when
he made the years.
Yeah, it was in his later years.
He looked back at all of his years, 20 years of coaching at Michigan. He said that guy was right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? When you put together a football team, it really is all about the relationships. You're serving a brotherhood and you're serving a fraternity that will go down in history together, whether it be good, bad, or otherwise. And in this particular case, it was historic. 13 members of that 1969 team went on to play pro ball. Four were inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. You've mentioned some of them: Dan Dierdorf, Reggie McKenzie, Jim Mandich, and Tom Curtis. You were all the foundation on which Coach Schembechler built.
I'm waiting for him to put Billy Taylor in there.
They should be. He should be. But that win over Ohio State was a pillar on which the foundation was built. So over the years, have there been team reunions? Is that a bond that will keep you together forever?
Absolutely. We were getting together every 10 years. And over the past 20 years, we started getting together every 5 years. You know, people are getting older. Everybody but me, you know. I'm 39 and
still
holding.
Still looking good.
Somebody's got to do the math, because how can this be my 50-year reunion of a team that I played on, and I'm 39, you know, and holding, and nothing gets old but clothes, so I change mine every day. But mathematical principles do not apply with that statement. But yeah, we are very close, and when we get together, it's just like we just left campus or are still on campus. We're joking, we're laughing, and just having a great time. It's a brotherhood, and we're Michigan men forever.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and we continue to mark the 50th anniversary of Michigan's historic upset of Ohio State in 1969 with former Michigan running back Billy Taylor and former sports information director Bruce Motti. Bruce, once you came on board at the University of Michigan, you had a long and storied career. Was there anything better from a professional perspective than Michigan-Ohio State week and game day?
No.
Short answer. No.
It's kind of funny, but I really don't have that much to do compared to what I used to have to do, and I still get a little bit nervous this week as the game gets close. I don't know. I will tell you this. You just look forward to that game. I mean, each and every year, and the stories that we have, the couple of times when we're sitting at the hotel in Columbus and they shut the water off and we have no water in the morning. Little things like that.
That's awful.
I call it game. We didn't do that to them. Oh no, no, we didn't. No, but that's Ohio State. That's gamesmanship. The gamesmanship, I always call it. But the thing is, when you take a look at that game and what has happened in that game and. Throughout the years, it has meant more to a Big Ten championship than any other game. In fact, more to any championship than any other conference. And that's what we got to get back to. And I think that's why this makes this so exciting to see why there's the parallels of 50 years ago to today.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because as we approach this 2019 edition, it's not lost on anyone the parallels this season provides. In 1969, Michigan has two losses entering the game, as it does this year. Ohio State was undefeated. As it is this year. The national media has Ohio State heavily favored, as it was in 1969. Just like in 1969, Michigan is playing its best football heading into the game. Billy, can history repeat itself?
Absolutely, and I don't do the prediction things, but I truly believe these young Wolverines are going to beat the Buckeyes this Saturday. I mean, the parallels are just so similar. As you mentioned, our team record, the momentum, coming down the pike, getting ready for this game. And I get pumped up. I was driving in. I'm praying that the spirit of me and my teammates on that 69 team will rise up in these young Wolverines, and they'll play their greatest game ever, because that's what it's going to take to beat this team. You know, no doubt about it, they're a really good football team, but they can be beat, you know. And as I mentioned earlier, people said we had no chance of winning, and the point spread was, I forget what it was, but it was very high. And none of that mattered to us. The way we went out and played, and I'm just hoping and praying that on both sides of the ball, Michigan will play their greatest football game ever. Whether you're a freshman, and freshmen couldn't play back in my days, but a sophomore, junior, senior, and everybody was in that game. You look at our bench, you know, I was looking at some film, and people were not on the bench, they were standing. You know, they never got in the game, a lot of players. You know, you have 100 guys on the team.
Right.
But you only play so many. But they were spiritually, mentally in that game along with us, you know. So I'm hoping and praying that these Wolverines, you know, pound for pound, that's the toughest animal around is a Wolverine. we go out and play like that, we'll beat them.
Certainly, Coach Harbaugh is a historian of Michigan football, and he loves all of this. And certainly, Bruce, I'm not going to ask you to spill any secrets, but do you think he is telling his players today about that 1969 game? Are some of you, are some of the players coming back and talking to the boys?
Well, I know the 69 team is, and I know Jim has brought players back. And I have not talked to Jim about what his plans are. I do know that we are going to be honoring the team at the game.
Friday
night there will be a dinner, mm-hmm. and then Saturday there's going to be all the players and
be out on the field.
Right. But you know what? This 69 game, if it doesn't matter if Jim mentions it or not, because there's going to be so much discussion about it going into it that I don't think the players will have any opportunity but not to understand what happened in 69 and see those type of parallels. And I'm pretty sure Jim's going to bring them up, and I'm pretty sure that this team's going to be ready to go.
I think all of us on that team, we're going to be honorary captains
right.
for the game, and they'll be
that's the way it
introduced
should be.
Out on the field. Hopefully, we're going to lead them through the tunnel. We did that about, 5 years ago or so. No, 10 years.
10 years ago.
When Brady Hoke was still coaching. That's the last time that we beat them. That was in 2011.
Yes.
Yeah, that season.
We'll have to go back
into
the loop.
I think I'm correct on that.
That
one.
Is correct.
I know we won that game, and that's the last time, and that's not good, you know. We got to get back to beating the Buckeyes. And like some personal things that I do, I'm wearing both Big Ten championship rings from 69 and 72, or the 71 season.
Right.
I do it all week before the Ohio State game. I wear my Michigan jacket, you know, just trying to be in sync with the team and spiritually connect, you know. I don't know if that's possible, but I believe it is.
And you have said that you do not like anybody to use the word hate when it comes to a game or about this relationship. But you might admit to a same.
Right? However, I don't use hate. And I told my sons and my daughter, I don't use hate in anything that I say. But regarding the Buckeyes and the Spartans, I will say I greatly dislike them. And, you know, that's how I feel. You know, and a lot of people, I've had disagreements with people that I know that in Ohio, growing up in Ohio, that are Buckeye fans, you know, because they would send me something about Ohio State. I say, don't do that, please. I won't send you Michigan stuff. Don't send me Buckeye stuff. Or don't send me MSU stuff. You know, there's a respect, but they don't understand because they never played in that game. They don't know the intensity of it. So once again, I don't say hate, but I dislike them.
Well, you've already made it clear you're not going to make a formal prediction, but think Michigan can win. And Bruce, I'm going to assume that you don't want to make a formal prediction either. But there seems to be a real symmetry 50 years down the line from that 1969
stage
win
is set.
That almost history is calling out for this to be the year.
Billy says the stage is set, and I said I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. You know, it. How great would that be that our Wolverines go out Saturday and beat Ohio State, 50 years later from that monumental game in 69, you know, how great would that be for this team that nobody expects to beat the Buckeyes, go out in our home field just as we did back in the days, and it's going to be a huge crowd, probably over 115,000 people there. Well, we go out and beat some Buckeyes down. That's what I'm expecting.
Well, there you go. And we're all going to find out together about 3:30 Saturday afternoon. And I thank you both for coming in today and sharing your time and your stories with me. I'm most grateful.
I'm happy to be here. You know, I have the thermometer at my house set at 69, in my car 69. I'm wearing a 69 ring.
There
you
is
know,
a theme.
I'm wearing my Michigan jacket. I'm ready to go.
Well, if they win this year, you might have to change it to 19. It's going to get off the pole.
I would be honored.
All right. Thank you both. I do appreciate it. We love the stories. We love the contributions you have both made to the University of Michigan. That is former Michigan running back Billy Taylor and former U of M Sports Information Director Bruce Motti joining us out of Saturday's showdown with Ohio State. And just in case you need one more reminder, we're going to end today with some famous final words from Bob Ufer's broadcast of Michigan's upset of the century in 1969.
4, 3, 2, 1. They got Schembechler on their shoulders. Listen to the crowd go wild. Michigan upsets Ohio State. Believe it or not, the final score. Ripley couldn't have made it any better than this. Michigan 24, Ohio State 12.
Will history repeat itself?
Let's shall go find Blue. Out.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.